before the autumn equinox. But whatever you do, we want you to be safe out there. We want you to keep yourself.
My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Find out where the music takes Wayne Shorter on the next Deep Threes when we check out a track he produced for Holophoner. Plus the sounds of Regina Carter, Richard Horowitz, and a flashback with Tangerine Dream. Deep Threes. Music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Art Omai, a sculpture and architecture park and international residency center in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dusk until dawn. Art Omai presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Isabella Colello is reporting for WWTI-TV that the state's largest teachers union is calling on counties to require mask wearing in public schools statewide. New York State United Teachers issued a statement September 4th urging county governments to mandate a policy for school districts requiring everyone to wear masks indoors during the school day. Following the call for statewide action, the NYSUT president, Andy Pallotta, praised Orange County for taking the step to mandate masks. Quote, "While some school districts are doing the right thing and requiring masks at all times, we are still seeing others who refuse to take this basic step to protect the health of students, staff, and families," unquote, Pallotta said. Quote, "Orange County is taking a lead role in helping address the reservations that exist regarding reopening school buildings. We believe other county leaders should follow suit and address the concerns we're still hearing from educators and parents," unquote. NYSUT last month sent a similar appeal to State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker, citing guidance recently released by the American Academy of Pediatrics in support of the policy. Read more about this story at the WWTI website. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting that bids for the new Dutchess County Justice and Transition Center have now been opened. The County Department of Public Works received 6 bids for the construction of the center, which with project costs ranging up to $140.5 million. The low bidder submitted a proposal a great deal below the projected construction costs. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro said the center was already projected to save the county millions each year in operating costs. With the bids coming in considerably lower than originally estimated, taxpayers will now see additional savings. Quote, "While finally replacing an expensive, ineffective, and inappropriate facility that we should rid ourselves of," unquote. The winning bid made by Pike Company of Rochester came in at a total of $110 million, well below estimated and authorized funding even with a significant contingency built into the cost. The contracts must be finalized. In March 2016, the Dutchess County Legislature voted to approve funding for the design and construction of the new Justice Center. According to county officials, the new center will save taxpayers more than $5 million annually beginning in the first year of operation. In recent years, Ulster County, Greene County, Schoharie County, and now Dutchess County have all built new jail facilities and did not share the costs or burdens with each other. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com. Larry Parnes is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that the paper will soon eliminate 2 days of print publication and turn its Sunday edition into a weekend paper delivered to readers on Saturday. Frederick D. Rutberg, the company's president and publisher, made the announcement September 3rd. Affiliated daily publications in Bennington and Brattleboro, Vermont, will eliminate 1 day of print publication as well. Quote, "For years we have known that the future of our industry is with digital publishing, and COVID-19 has accelerated the shift to 21st century publishing that we call being digital," unquote, Rutberg said in a letter to readers. Quote, "Being digital means delivering the news in a way to fit the times and accommodate the future," unquote. The Eagle will begin producing print editions Tuesday through Saturday starting October 6th. The Bennington Banner and Brattleboro Reformer will also print editions Tuesday through Saturday beginning in October. The papers will continue to produce a Monday e-editions and focus on digital publishing 7 days a week. In making the decision, the Eagle is following the examples of newspapers nationwide. Rutberg said in an interview that when the pandemic hit, advertisers closed their wallets, leading to significant revenue drops for the Eagle, as well as the Bennington Banner and the Brattleboro Reformer, part of the publication group. Quote, "You have to look back to March. It just fell off the table," unquote, he said. Revenues dropped by 50%. Quote, "We did some projections and it showed devastating losses going forward," unquote, Rutberg said. Quote, "So how do you manage that? We didn't want to throw quality out the window," unquote. After stabilizing the business through the use of furloughs and a Paycheck Protection Program loan, the ownership team took stock. The Berkshire Eagle, considered a paper of record for Berkshire County, Massachusetts, has published daily since 1892. Since May 1st, 2016, it has been owned by a group of local investors who purchased the Eagle and its three Vermont sister newspapers for an undisclosed sum from Digital First Media. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And the Daily Freeman reports what is open and what is closed on September 7th, Labor Day. Amtrak will be on a holiday schedule. The banks are closed. County offices are closed. Federal offices are closed. Financial markets are closed. Greene County Transit has no service. Mail delivery is non-existent on Labor Day. Metro North is on a Sunday schedule on Hudson, Harlem, and New Haven lines. Schools are closed, state offices are closed, and Trailways has a limited normal schedule. This has been the WGXC Local News. Go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny Sunday, with a high of just 71 and a low around 58. Monday, Labor Day, should also be sunny with a high of 77 and a low around 60. And then Tuesday should be sunny with a high of 81 and a low around 60. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Brock of Midland Park, New Jersey. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Give me liberty, or give me death!
WGXC, the station that gives you liberty.
Hey. Hi. I could use a story.
Thank you. love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a graduate of Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ, and I live in Elizaville. Sorry, I accidentally muted myself there. And I am definitely going into fourth grade, but I should be going into fifth grade because I moved during the school year. And my school starts tomorrow. Sad!
I am Lena, and I am from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yay!
Books we love, books we hate, bookish things.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
And we're often here with our friends Mashuda, Fahim, and Fatia, but they couldn't make it today. But I did get a recording sent to me from Mashuda and Fatia that we might be able to work into the show. So our listeners might hear from them later. But in the meantime, we're all going to talk about books and bookish things. Before we start talking about books, why don't we talk a little bit about the upcoming school year? Are you all going to school virtually? Are you going in person?
I'm going in person and I'm starting tomorrow. Well, just so you know, today is Monday and I'm starting on Tuesday because this is going to air later. I'm starting tomorrow. No. I'm so used to starting on the 14th or the 16th. At least it gives you some time for school shopping. I'm like, okay, so violin or viola? I don't know what I'm going to choose because there's going to be an instrument. There's no way the mom is going to buy a cello, so what am I going to do? I don't know. I don't know where my violin is. It's so stressful.
Those are both nice instruments, though. So
what's the difference between a viola and a violin?
Size? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You're asking the wrong people. We're book people, not music people.
I'm pretty sure the difference between viola, I think it was, and a violin is that the viola has different, like, sounding strings than the violins, and also because the viola is known as the violin's technically big sister, because I know that because I play the violin. I do not enjoy it.
Do you think you'd enjoy the viola or viola better? I don't know if I'm saying it right. Just realized I haven't said it out loud in a long time. Is it viola? Viola? I don't know. But do you think you would prefer a different instrument to the violin, Lena?
Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
I only play piano.
Ooh.
But not in school. How about you, Amelia? I know you're going to Columbia Green this fall.
Yeah, I'm going to be all virtual.
All virtual? Are there any classes that you're most excited about?
Creative writing, I'm taking it again. Because why not?
Great. Yeah, Mashuda's starting SUNY New Paltz. I think this week was her first week. Maybe last week she started. I can't remember. But she started recently. And she's also doing the program all online. And she's taking Contemporary Lit.
Cool.
And the books that she's borrowed so far are all very good, so I hope she enjoys that class.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Mm-hmm. So what have you been reading, Amelia?
I finally finished the book I've been reading and I've moved on to the next one in the series, so that was fun. I liked the first story the most in this one. The other two were kind of boring or just too surreal. Like I said, these books are, like, straddling the line between, like, goosebumps and, like, real-deal adult horror, and that makes some of the stories a bit weird, like, too weird for my taste, so I like the first one the most in this one, and now I've moved on to the newest one.
These are your scary short stories.
Yes.
What do you think you're going to read after you're done with your scary short stories?
I'm not sure. I might try to get back into comics more. I do. I've always enjoyed comics.
Do you have any on your radar that you're thinking of?
Oh, I don't know. It's usually not really. I kind of just have to fight the urge to read Nimona again in order to read something new. But I don't have any on my radar right now.
That's okay. When the time comes, I'm sure you'll find something.
Yeah.
How about you, AJ? What have you been reading? Or what did you want to talk about?
Everything. I've been reading everything. I've been rereading some books. I've been rereading a lot. But the most recent book that I reread was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I just can't get over it. My most favorite line in both the movie and the book. And so in the movie, it's when Harry just turns to look at Hagrid because Hagrid is telling him something and he says muggle in a sentence. And Harry's like, he turns his head with the most confused look on his face. He's like, muggle? I just think that's so funny for some reason. I start cracking up where I see it on this show because it's like, I can replay that scene over and over and over, but I wouldn't because that would annoy Mom a lot.
Do you read the original version or the illustrated version?
I've read both. I like the illustrated version better, though, except for those creepy pictures, like the potions picture and stuff like that.
Do you know what you're going to read next?
No, I just pick a book and I read it.
How about you, Lena?
So, a book that I have been reading is called Dolphin Summer, and I'll read the back. She's having a summer to remember because of a friend she'll never forget. Lily's best friends have abandoned her for a sleepaway camp, and her plans for an unforgettable New York City summer have vanished with them. And while she'd love to spend her days strolling the Coney Island boardwalk, and visiting the amazing aquarium there, parents don't want her wasting time at the beach when she could be studying. So when Lily discovers a dolphin in a nearby canal, she's torn. She knows she shouldn't be spending every day watching over the sweet, playful creature, but if the dolphin is hurt and can't get back to its pod in the bay, it could be in serious trouble. Lily can't help the feeling that saving this special dolphin might just be her summer destiny.
Sounds really nice. Did you like it?
Yes, I loved it.
What did you like about it?
Well, I really liked how the first thing I'm just going to talk about that they mentioned in the back is that I liked how instead of Lily being over here being sad, like super sad and stuff about her friends abandoning her, she just decides that she wants to help the dolphin instead.
Yeah, it's good to have priorities and things you care about.
Yeah, it is.
Was it fun to read a book that's set over the summer? During this weird summer that we're having?
Yeah.
You can like imagine what it would be like having a summer like that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a very nice book. I'll have to check that out someday.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what you're going to read next?
No.
That's okay. I'm curious with the school year if what the assigned reading is going to be like, if it'll be similar or different in terms of the amount that you all have.
My school doesn't really assign us to read anything.
Oh, yeah?
They don't really assign us anything to read a lot. So that's why sometimes I have trouble finding books to talk about.
Mm.
Because my school only wants me to read every once in 1,000 years, and they think I should prioritize my math more. You'll need reading more than math. That's my opinion.
I would much rather read.
Same.
I mean, math is important too, but I don't know. I think you learn a lot from reading.
Yeah.
In many levels. It's very important.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this year you'll get some more assigned reading that's good. Only the good stuff.
Yeah, hopefully.
I can share a book that I read fairly recently. I think I finished it a couple weeks ago. And it's one that I've been meaning to read basically since the start of the pandemic, it feels like. Oh yeah, it came out March 31st, 2020. And I got it right when it came out. And it is called We Are the Wildcats by Siobhan Vivian. And this was one of two books that I had on my radar around the same time that are about field hockey teams. And so I read the first one at sort of the start of the pandemic. And then this one I just finally got to. But this one, the first one that I read was an adult fiction title. And it had like a potentially supernatural aspect to it.
Maybe just say the titles that the other adults might know.
The other one was, what was it called?
What was it called isn't a very
that wasn't what it was called. So it was called We Ride Upon Sticks by Quan Berry.
The other one. You won't get there very fast if you ride upon sticks. Not if they're room sticks, but just plain old sticks, you won't get that far.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, they were arguably broomsticks because it was about a field hockey team that was perhaps involved in some witchcraft. So I never saw a broomstick in the book, but maybe okay, they could ride upon their field hockey sticks. I don't want to spoil anything. But this one's We Are the Wildcats by Siobhan Vivian, and it's a book for teens, and it is not supernatural.
Oh, man.
But it was still very good, and I'll read the description. Tomorrow, the Wildcat varsity field hockey squad will play the first game of their new season. But at tonight's team sleepover, the girls are all about forging the bonds of trust, loyalty, and friendship necessary to win. Everything hinges on the midnight initiation ceremony, a beloved tradition and the only facet of being a Wildcat that the girls control. Until now. Coach, a handsome former college player, revered and feared in equal measure, changes the plan and spins his team on a new adventure. One where they take a rival team's mascot for a joyride, crash a party in their pajamas, break into the high school for the perfect picture. But as the girls slip out of their comfort zone, so do some long-held secrets. And just how far they're willing to go for their team takes them all, especially Coach, by surprise. A testament to the strength and resilience of modern teenage girls, We Are the Wildcats will have readers cheering. So it's really fun. It takes place over one night, which I kind of like when books have that kind of setup where it's like a confined period of time.
How do they manage to make a book like maybe around 170 pages one night?
Well, it's told from different perspectives, so jumps back and forth between different girls on the team. And So you get different parts of their story. And I think there are maybe some flashbacks. I can't remember how much they're just the characters remembering or the narrator remembering versus like an actual flashback.
Remember something in the story?
Like saying how something happened, like the narrator would reflect on something that had happened before. But yeah, it was really fun. As I think I mentioned when I talked about these books originally, I played field hockey in high school, and field hockey doesn't turn up in fiction very often. Aside from these two books, the only example that I can think of off the top of my head is Paper Girls. And Paper Girls is a comic series where some of the characters happen to be on the field hockey team, but there's nothing really about field hockey aside from that at least one of them has a field hockey stick with them in the book. But otherwise, the plot's totally separate from the sport. So it's sort of fun seeing that. There's not much field hockey in it because it takes place overnight, but there's a little bit. Yeah, it was a fun teen read. I'm glad I finally got to read it. I think I bought it when it first came out and then just kind of forgot that I had it and kept reading my library books instead or reading whatever audiobooks came in. And then I recently realized that I still had it and hadn't read it, so I dived in. Glad I did.
Yeah, it gave you something to talk about here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good because I read books for all different age levels. I read a lot of picture books. I also read books for adults. I read books for teens in middle grade. And so I try on the radio show to mostly talk about teen and middle grade books. But every once in a while, my latest book is not for that age group. And then I have to decide if it's worth talking about or not. But I have some books that I pulled aside that we recently got in at the library. And I thought I could read the descriptions from those for any of our listeners that might be interested. Maybe even one of you might be interested in some of these. So I'm going to share three of our new books for teens and kids. So the first one is a book for teens by Shannon Hale, who I know Lena has read. And this is, I think, her first book for a teen audience. It's called Kind of a Big Deal. And I will read the description. There's nothing worse than peaking in high school. Nobody knows that better than Josie Pye. She used to be kind of a big deal. She dropped out of high school to be a theater star. But the bigger you are, the harder you fall. And Josie fell hard. Broadway dream? Dead. Meanwhile, her life imploded. Best friend? Distant. Boyfriend? Busy. Mom? Not playing with a full deck. Desperate to escape, Josie gets into reading. Literally. She reads a book, and suddenly she's inside it. And with each story, she's a different character. A post-apocalyptic heroine, the lead in a YA rom-com, a 17th century wrench in a corset.
Why can't she be at least Hermione in Harry Potter? That would be interesting.
It would.
Or Harry Potter itself. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would feel sad for them when their scar hurts in the stories. Ouch.
Yeah. It's alarming, but also kind of amazing. Book after book, Josie the failed star finds new ways to shine. But the longer she stays in a story, the harder it becomes to leave. Will Josie find a story so good that she just stays forever? I think it's actually pretty cute. That would be nice. That's neat. Okay, so I didn't plan this. So the cover of the book has a young woman lying down on a bed that has all this stuff around her. And then the author's picture in the biography also has her with stuff around her. And one of the books in the picture, one of them is the book that Lena talked about on last week's radio show. So that's cool. And the other book is the other book that I was going to talk about. It's in her author bio picture, which is kind of funny. So the next book is another book for teens. It's called Ray Bearer, and it's by Jordan Ifueco. It's got a really pretty cover. I'll read the description for that. What if you've sworn to protect the one you were born to destroy? Tarasai has always longed for the warmth of a family. She was raised in isolation by a mysterious, often absent mother known only as the Lady. When Tarasai comes of age, the Lady sends her to the capital of the global empire of Aritzar to compete with other children to be chosen as one of the Crown Prince's Council of 11. If she's picked, she'll be joined with the other council members through the Ray, a bond deeper than blood. That closeness is irresistible to Tarasai. But the Lady has other ideas, including a magical wish that Tarasai is compelled to obey, kill the Crown Prince once she gains his trust. Tarasai won't stand by and become someone's pawn, but is she strong enough to choose a different path for herself? With extraordinary world building and breathtaking prose, written by an incredible new talent, Ray Bearer is the story of loyalty, fate, and the lengths we're willing to go to for the ones we love. So this is a debut novel, and it's got really pretty cover art. Ooh, I like the, this is the author bio is really short. It's cute. Jordan Ifueco grew up under a blanket fort eating fried plantains and reading comic books. Eventually, she switched the comics for a tea-stained notebook. She now lives in Los Angeles with her husband David and their collection of Black Panther Funko Pops. That's her author bio. And the third book I wanted to talk about is City of Secrets by Victoria Ying. This is a new graphic novel for middle grade readers. And here's the description. Ever Barnes is a shy orphan guarding a secret in an amazing puzzle box of a building. Most of the young women who work at the building's switchboard operating facility, which connects the whole city of Oscar, look the other way as Ever roams around in the shadows. But one of them, Lisa, keeps an eye on the boy. So does the head of the switchboard, Madame Alexander, a rather sharp eye. Enter Hannah, the spunky daughter of the building's owner. She thinks Ever needs a friend, even if he doesn't know it yet. Good thing she does. Lisa and Madame Alexander are each clearly up to something. Ever is beset by a menacing band of rogues looking to unlock the secret he holds at any cost. And whatever is hidden deep in the switchboard building will determine all of their futures. On a journey that twists and turns as much as the mechanical building Ever Barnes calls home, he and his new friend Hannah have to find out what's really going on in this mysterious city of secrets. Or else. Dun, dun, dun. It's got really cool artwork. I like it a lot. And this is, I believe, a debut graphic novel. Oh, no. I think it's her debut graphic novel that she's written and illustrated. But Victoria Ying is a developmental artist whose clients include Disney Studios and Sony, among others. She has worked on major films such as Frozen, Tangled, Big Hero 6, Moana, and Wreck-It Ralph. She is also illustrating DC's new middle grade Wonder Woman graphic novel, Diana, Princess of the Amazons. So I look forward to reading that one as well. So those are three of our new releases that I thought I would share today in case anyone out there listening is interested in picking up a new read and thinks one of those sounds up their alley.
So that's me, and me, and me, and me.
Which one sounds the best to you, AJ?
All of them. I like the graphic novel one better, though.
That's good. That one's probably the one that's most meant for someone your age, though it's possible that the others are appropriate. I'd have to look more into it to know, but yeah, the City of Secrets, or just City of Secrets, that one's meant for middle grade readers. Well, those are all available to borrow through the library, and we're currently doing contactless materials pickup. We're hoping sometime this month to be able to start allowing people to come in and browse. We don't have a set date for that yet, but we're really looking forward to being able to have people come in, peruse the collection. We just want to make sure it's done safely, so working out a few last things before we open up in that way. But in the meantime, if anyone wants to borrow any books, movies, CDs, audiobooks, magazines, you can either give the library a call, or you can order through the online catalog, or send us an email. Hooray! But check out HudsonAreaLibrary.org for more info and updates. And we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everybody has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we wish everyone going back to school a happy and safe and hopefully not stressful return to school or start of school for people like Amelia, who are starting off at college, and AJ, who's going to a new school.
I'm not ready.
Hope everyone has a good week. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
And good news we can definitely use. Dr. Ronald Cook? Hello,
yes,
sir.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us here at WGXC.
Yes, good morning, Capital Region. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for allowing me to participate in this morning's interview.
Yes, of course. As I've said, Dr. Ronald Cook is the superintendent of the Catskill Central Schools District. Dr. Cook, the schools that you work with, the names of them are?
Catskill High School, Catskill Middle School, and Catskill Elementary School.
Yeah. And I've asked Dr. Cook on this morning to talk about the reopening of the Catskill schools. There are three phases. Dr. Cook, would you explain them to us?
Yes, just give you a brief overview. Obviously, the governor and SED required school districts to submit their plans by July 31st. But we've had conversations with our stakeholder groups, which is comprised of teachers, administrators, community members, our retired officers who work as consultants, a plethora of people and organizations to discuss what reopening will look like prior to the governor and SED coming down with their decision. So with that being said, the most logical and reasonable approach was to phase our students back in. I know there's some local school districts who are receiving their students back in person, whether it's elementary, whether it's the entire district. But for us, our teachers have not been physically in the school district since March through June. So our phase one is to bring back all of our staff. Our staff will be back next Tuesday, September 8th, and to provide them with professional development. Because what we observed was between March through June, although we did a pretty good job, there were some gaps in communication. There were some gaps with instruction. And having teachers teach from home made it quite difficult. So with phase one, which is from September 8th until October 9th, all of our staff will be back here on campus. They'll be provided with professional development. Everyone will be teaching from their classrooms. And, September 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, which is 4 days right after the Labor Day holiday, they will have 4 days of intensive instruction on Google Classroom, Google Forms, submission of assignments, receiving assignments, grading. So we have an extensive outline of professional development for them for next Tuesday through Friday. So phase one, again, bringing back all of our staff is critical. Our students will start remotely on Monday, September 14th, and the remote instruction will be from September 14th until October 9th. So we are bringing students back on a hybrid model, which will begin on Tuesday, October 13th, 2020, through the end of the first semester, which is Friday, January 29th, 2021. So in phase two, our parents received a survey, and they had an opportunity to select hybrid. A hybrid model is 2 days of instruction in person and 3 days of remote instruction. And the remote is another option, which is 5 days of remote instruction. Now, again, everyone's going to receive remote instruction from September 4th. arriving, eating breakfast, what it looks like in a classroom where there's separation of desk, we're covering desks in between each student and behind each student. There's going to be some separation. In addition to that, what does the lunch line look like? What does dismissal look like? So pretty much there's a great deal of simulation of what the new normal will look like. And that video is on YouTube. If you type in Catskill Central School District, new normal, you have an opportunity to view it. I believe we're up to 3,200 views. And the same video is on our website. And again, many of our parents, we ask them to watch it numerous times prior to making a selection on whether it's hybrid or continue with remote. And phase three would be from the beginning of February 2020 through the end of June. Phase three, ideally, we like to bring back all of our students. But again, you may still have parents who are a little hesitant and they want to continue with remote. Obviously, we will continue with that accommodation for those parents who are a little reluctant when bringing having children return to school. So those are the three different phases that we're going to implement here in the Catskill Central School District. Obviously, the infection rate may change some of the phases. If there's a vaccine that comes out, that may change some of the phases. So there's some outside variables that may ultimately change some of the phasings of our plan.
Well, thank you for that. You can count me amongst the 3,200 people who has viewed that video, and that is at catskillcsd.org/coronavirus-information. Very well done, comprehensive, and very clear.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how has the response been from families? At this point, have most of them made their choices, voiced their opinion? How do you think they feel about all of this in general?
Well, in general, parents feel that we made the best decision to phase our students back in. Looking at the initial survey information, it's about a 60-40 split. 60% of the parents want their children to return on the hybrid model, and 40% want their child to remain on a remote model, at least for the first semester. So we're going to send another survey out as we get toward the end of the first semester to see how many of those parents who actually have their children remote want them to come back in phase three. So that was the response. And again, the purpose of that new normal video was to simulate, because prior to that, we had another survey that was sent out, and in that survey, was kind of a split. You know, one of the questions indicated, and this is from the parent survey that was done in July, I believe July 10th, if school opens in either 100% in person or the hybrid model, would you send your child to school? At that particular point, 35% of our parents said yes, 32% of our parents were unsure, and 33% said no. So the majority, 65% of those parents were kind of in limbo. So at that particular point, we felt that new normal video was critical. So as you can see by the data that I recently indicated, we have about a 60-40 split. Mm-hmm. There are still some parents who we're trying to connect with. We don't want to assume that if they did not complete the survey, that their child will come back in a hybrid model. So we're making individual phone calls to those families, ensuring that we have all those data points available so we can make decisions when it comes to transportation, decisions with staffing, and other budgetary type of decisions that need to be made.
Folks, it is about 29 minutes past 9 o'clock, and you are in tune to WGXC, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I have with me Dr. Ronell Cook, superintendent of Catskill Central School District. Your teachers, your staff, some of the questions that they have as they have been prepared for this opening of school?
Well, obviously there's a level of anxiety, not only from children, parents, but also teachers. You have a little bit of anxiety. So again, with the new normal video to put out, that was not only for our parents and for our students, but also for staff. So as I indicated before, our custodians do a great job when it comes to cleanliness, and we are doubling down with contracting out to a cleaning service to come in for a deeper cleaning on Wednesdays and Saturdays. In the morning, at 6:30 every morning, prior to staff coming in, they will have a survey to complete. That survey will be done either through email and or through text, and they will have to answer three basic questions related to whether they have been exposed to coronavirus, someone in their family, or have they visited an area where the percentage rate is high, or do they have any type of symptomatic, from the coronavirus. So they have to answer those questions. Obviously, if this is no, they can report to school. If it's a yes, we're going to encourage them to stay home if they don't feel well and to seek treatment. The other component is after completing the survey, at our staff entry points, we have our wireless temperature scans. So with the wireless temperature scan, the employee will walk up with his or her mask on, put their forehead toward the device, and that device will indicate whether the temperature is normal or not normal. So at that particular point, if it's normal, the staff person can enter the building. If it's not normal, I will get some type of indication on my email, and that staff member will be told that he or she needs to go home because they have a temperature. And again, we don't want to assume that they have any type of COVID-related illness, but we want to be very precautious and proactive mm-hmm. with ensuring that someone who does not feel well does not report to work and or to school. Yeah. So with that being said, we have hand sanitizer machines that will be systematically placed around the buildings. All staff are being required to wear masks in common areas. If they're in a classroom and they can socially distance, particularly in this point in phase one, from a teaching assistant or some other type of support personnel, they may be welcome to remove their mask in that particular point. But when our students come back and there's students in the classroom and they're not able to social distance, those masks will be required. But we're also instituting mask breaks, when it comes time for our children coming back. So that teacher will have an opportunity, using his or her professional judgment to implement mask breaks in that particular classroom. So again, mask in common areas. You're able to remove your mask if you're in a classroom or an area where you can socially distance. Hand sanitizer, the temperature scans, the questionnaire link. So those are some of the systems and protocols that we put in place to help ease some of the concerns from staff.
Yeah.
And any type of visitor who comes into our building, whether it's a parent or some type of vendor, those individuals, they have to have their forehead scanned and they have to wear masks upon coming into our buildings. They will also have to complete a paper, hard copy questionnaire. So, we're trying to treat everyone fairly. We're trying to be proactive when it comes to fighting this pandemic, but that has eased some of the concerns from our staff members.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Cook, what about those extracurricular activities where kids are usually are in a group, whether it be music, sports, or art class? How are these students being taught?
Well, when it comes to extracurricular activities, when it comes to the art, the music, the phys ed, those are going to be done in areas where you can socially distance.
Yeah.
The majority of those classes will be done, those teachers will be coming to the class to provide that type of instruction. When it comes to phys ed, we have enough space on our campus to socially distance students outside or even in our gymnasiums, because not only is it 6 feet, the social distance, but when it comes to physical activity, particularly when it comes to physical education, those students need to be 12 feet separated. So, again, with the hybrid model, we have 60% of our students coming back in, and again, those 60% are divided in half. We have A group and B group. So, with that being said, in those smaller numbers, we'll be able to socially distance those children between one another. And again, the majority of our staff in elementary and middle school, they're going to be coming to the classrooms to provide that type of instruction. At this point, we're encouraging extracurricular activities, ones that are online, When it comes to athletics, we're still waiting for a determination to be made either by the governor, SED, or the New York State High School Public Athletic Association regarding what sports students can play, what sports they cannot play. And from that point, if a parent chooses to have their child participate in a particular sport, you know, obviously we'll provide that option. But, you know, it makes it difficult, to be honest with you, when you're waiting on outside sources, outside agencies or people to make decisions for you. So we try to be proactive in our thinking to kind of, you know, have those decisions, or at least options ahead of time before final decisions are made.
Well, it sounds like you're, you know, you're crossing your T's and dotting those I's. And, you know, speaking of, you know, outside influences, if it happens that a student, teacher, or staff member is diagnosed with the novel coronavirus, what are the school's protocols and procedures, and what has the state recommended?
Yeah, we'll be collaborating with our health association here in Greene County. They'll be doing the testing. They'll be doing the contact tracing. Obviously, if a student, a particular teacher, we have to contact trace to see where that particular student was, what classroom, some of their peers in the classroom, all of their peers in that particular classroom, and that particular teacher, they would have to be quarantined for 14 days. Now, if it's outside of a classroom, we're going to have to really take a look and implement remote instruction. The last thing I want to do is put out with children or our staff in harm's way. Mm-hmm. So once that occurs, obviously, we have nothing to hide. Communications will be on our website. Communications from the Department of Health will go from that particular child or teacher to those families whose children were actually around that particular person. So the County of Health, they'll be making those individual phone calls to those families and staff if they were in contact with that particular person. But as a school district, obviously there would be communication from me indicating that this is an incident that occurred and this is what we're doing to handle the incident. And before that particular staff or those children come back, they would have to be tested, and we would have to have approval either from the Department of Health or their medical provider, provided that they're corona-free. So, you know, that's the protocol that we're following here in the Catskill Central School District.
Sir, you sound like a man with a plan. It really sounds that you have a great outline for your district. If you will mention, talk about your background in becoming a superintendent, and in any part of your training, if you will, did it prepare you for a pandemic?
Well, nothing prepares you for a pandemic, but just a brief snapshot of my career. I started out as a student teacher. I attended SUNY DuPaul's Fine Institution for Education, and from that point, my passion was to provide students with a quality education. And I received a quality education, to be honest with you, from the Yonkers Public School System, and that was my passion, to give back. So started as a volunteer, became a fifth grade teacher in the city of Poughkeepsie, served in that role for 7 years, decided I wanted to make a bigger impact in administration. So from that point, I transitioned as an athletic director in Hyde Park Central School District, and then an assistant principalship became available in the Newburgh and Large City School District. I served as an assistant principal for 2 years and then transitioned back to Poughkeepsie as an elementary principal in 2006. From that point, I served as elementary school principal, several buildings. I also served as a secondary principal at Poughkeepsie Middle School. And then I transitioned to central office as a director of human resources. From that point, I became assistant superintendent for human resources and then deputy superintendent of schools in Poughkeepsie City School District. Maximized my potential at that particular point. I felt there was a need to become a superintendent. So this is where I landed here in Catskill. And I enjoy it. I'm going into my fourth year here, and I believe things are going well. But you know, just transitioning and going through all those different phases of being a teacher, athletic director, an assistant principal, director, assistant superintendent, deputy superintendent has prepared me well for this role. You know, you see the outcome as far as some of the results that we're getting. Last year, we were approved for a $43 million capital project. Construction is going to begin in October. Our elementary school is no longer on the school in need of improvement list. Our high school graduation rate is over 90%. Our middle school is showing, demonstrating double-digit growth when it comes to ELA and mathematics. And, you know, that's not attributed to me. That's attributed to all the great people that I have around me and providing them with opportunities for growth and giving them the keys to the car to drive and to make things, you know, appropriate for our children. So, you know, the outcome is enormous. We're doing great things for kids. And, you know, that comes down to leadership, to be honest with you, and making decisions such as phasing students back in. You know, a lot of these decisions are also common sense. You know, I look at administration as a, you know, it could be complicated at times, but the bottom line, when you do what's best for the interests of children, you know, great things come from that. And so, you know, we're using this common sense approach with phasing students back in. And how do you prepare for a pandemic? You know, throughout my career, there's been a lot of unusual things that have happened. I've done investigations with testing irregularities. Mm-hmm. At one point, while I was acting principal at Newburgh, a helicopter landed on our campus, and I was calm. And, you know, that calmness from my perspective of leadership filtered into our teachers. Our teachers were calm, and it was an emergency landing for a health reason, and our students were calm. So those unique things that occur have prepared me for this. It's just calm leadership, trying to be proactive.